Hi, everybody. Welcome to Audio 6. It's Dr. Sarah Gottfried. We're talking about your thyroid today. And I find that this is one of the most important Charlie's Angels, especially if you're struggling with weight, mood, hair loss, energy. It is one of those hormones of metabolism, or how fast or how slow you burn calories. You may wonder how long that list is of the hormones that I'm talking about in terms of metabolism in our course, Fast Track the Hormone Cure. Here's the complete list, just so you have the whole list of all of these hormones. There's 10 of them. So thyroid, I'm putting number one on the list. We're talking about that today. Number two is insulin. Number three is cortisol, along with its sidekicks, the neurotransmitters epinephrine and norepinephrine. Next up is number four, testosterone. Number five, DHEA. Number six, vitamin D, which is very important for your thyroid. We know 50% of women are low in vitamin D. I want to know your level. So check your level and make sure that it's in the metabolic range. Number seven is leptin, L-E-P-T-I-N. Number eight, ghrelin, G-H-R-E-L-I-N. Number nine, estrogen. And number 10, growth hormone.
You say that our thyroid is our metabolic thermostat. What do you mean?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, the thyroid secretes hormones that regulate the activities of pretty much every cell in your body. It controls the body's sensitivity to other hormones such as estrogen and cortisol, as well as many of the ones that I listed in that opener with all the 10. It also regulates how quickly we burn calories, and this is how it's involved with metabolism. This explains why weight control is such a problem when your thyroid is out of whack. So we're talking today about how to go from out of whack to back on track. Your thyroid is your very own metabolic thermostat. It basically helps you control how fast or how slowly you burn calories. And what I find is that we've got an epidemic of sluggish thyroids, especially here in the U.S., and it sets you up for poor mood. It also can lead to weight gain and this slow downward spiral toward losing your memory, having brain fog, cognitive decline, even Alzheimer's disease. But here's what it looks like when your thyroid's working properly. You feel energetic. You're upbeat. You feel buoyant. You have clear thinking. You have an easy relationship with your weight. You don't step on the scale and gasp and then create radical vows every Monday. Your bowel movements move along at a normal pace. So ideally, you want to have food go from your mouth to pooping in the toilet over about 12 to 24 hours. And if it's longer than that, there's a chance that your thyroid is off. You don't wear socks to bed or outline your eyebrows with a brown pencil, because the outer third of the eyebrows indicate whether you're low in thyroid or not. So you can see with some of the struggle that I had with my thyroid in my 30s by looking at my eyebrows, I'm a little thin and wispy on the outer third, and that's a sign of thyroid issues. Your cholesterol is normal, not too high, not too low. You've heard me talk before about how cholesterol is really important for making the sex hormones. It's important for making pregnenolone and progesterone and cortisol. And when your thyroid is slow, you might actually have a high cholesterol. And in that situation, I think it's a good idea to improve your thyroid function as a way of working with your cholesterol rather than being in a mad rush to start a statin. Your hair stays on your head. One of the most common reasons why people lose weight is their thyroid. Of course, those other hormones and metabolism can also impact hair loss. And we also know that 30% of women at age 30 have hair loss, 50% of women at age 50. But I really feel like this is a sanity issue, not a vanity issue. That's something I've written about in my book quite a bit. But I really think it's important to figure out the message that your body's giving you if you're not able to keep hairs on your head the way that you used to. Your skin is also affected by your thyroid. So when your thyroid's working properly, your skin is moist and your nails aren't dry. Your sex drive is strong and your memory is crystal clear. There's none of that brain fog.
So what happens if I have low thyroid?
I think about low thyroid as having three main symptoms. Now, there's a list of probably 100 plus in other resources, but here are the top three. Number one, you feel tired, maybe sluggish, run down. Number two, you have weight gain, no matter what you try to do. Number three, you have mood issues. In fact, we know that 20% of people with low thyroid function have depression. And what makes me crazy is that they're often not tested with their thyroid before they start on thyroid medication. Some of the less commonly known symptoms include the constipation that I was describing to you. And I can tell you, at Harvard Medical School, I was taught that constipation is when you go more than 3 days without a bowel movement. I can't even imagine that situation. No, what you want is you want to have a bowel movement ideally every morning, maybe twice a day. Even better is after every meal. And if it's less than that, you want to think about your thyroid as well as what you're eating. Maybe you feel cold or achy all the time or most of the time. You can have a puffy face. You can also have increased menstrual bleeding.
What is a T3 or T4? And more importantly, what do I need to know about them?
So there's several different hormones that are made in your thyroid. The ones that are known the best are T4 and T3. And because this is fast track your hormone cure, I want to be careful about getting too granular about this. But T4 is basically the inactive form of thyroid hormone. I think about it as the storage hormone. And that means that when you need it, it's actually a precursor to the more important form, which is T3. So T4 is a storage hormone. It's almost like a lame duck. It's just waiting in the wings to be converted into T3, and that's where the action is. T3 is the catalyst for your weight loss, for feeling warm, and for having a cheery mood. T4 is actually 90% of your thyroid hormones, but it has to be made into T3 before it can be used. And I often find that women who come to see me in my practice, or they work with me online, they're treated only with T4. They're treated with Synthroid or levothyroxine, and they're not so good at making T3 out of the T4. So we know that a lot of your thyroid hormones, in fact, 99%, are soaked up by something called binding proteins, thyroglobulin. It's almost like a sponge that kind of soaks up your free thyroid hormones. And what we want to know is not just the total amount of T4 and T3 in your body, we want to know the free amount, the amount that's unattached to the sponge, to the thyroglobulin. So I really encourage people, when they're getting their thyroid tested, to look at their free T4 and their free T3 for this reason, because that's the form of thyroid hormone that is biologically active.
How do I know if I have low thyroid?
Well, we went through some of the symptoms, and the top ones, as I mentioned, are fatigue, weight gain, and mood changes, especially mild to moderate depression. And oh, by the way, we know that mild to moderate depression is not effectively treated by an antidepressant. It's only severe depression that's been shown to be effectively treated with some of the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, such as Prozac and Zoloft and Paxil. So this is where I really need for you to step up as an educated consumer. If you have any of these symptoms that I've been talking about, I want you to request a blood test and review the results, comparing them to the optimal ranges. So I really want you to know your numbers. I told you about T3 and T4. One of the labs that most conventional physicians will order if you ask for a thyroid test is something called TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. Now, it's not just my opinion that we've got an epidemic of slow thyroids. Many other folks believe this as well. And as a result, we've been making the normal range for TSH smaller and smaller. So in 2003, the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists changed its recommendations for the normal target range for TSH to 0.3 to 3.0 milli international units per liter. So let me just recap that again, 0.3 to 3.0. We also have evidence, if you just look at people who've got a completely normal thyroid, and In the parlance of medicine, we call that euthyroid, euthyroid. It's a little weird, that word, euthyroid. So for people who are euthyroid, their thyroid is just rocking their mission. They're able to keep the hair on their head. They've got a good mood. They don't have fatigue, and their weight is just fine. Those people have an upper limit on their TSH of 1.5 milli international units per liter. So what I believe is that we've really got to look at a range of thyroid function that best supports people. And that range, the upper limit, is somewhere between 1.5 and 3.0. And I usually determine that range together with the clients that I work with. And that's something you want to do with your clinician. But for sure, if you have a level of 2.5 or 3.0 or above, that's a sure sign that something is up with your thyroid.
So what causes this?
Yeah, well, the most common causes of problems with your thyroid, and we're talking here about too little thyroid hormones. So you're low in thyroid function, and just a reminder, because this confuses everybody, your TSH actually goes up when your thyroid is slow. So let me say that again another way. Your brain makes TSH. You make it in your pituitary. And when your thyroid hormones are low, when your free T3 and your free T4 is low in your body senses this and it starts increasing your TSH so that your pituitary is sending the message to your thyroid to perk up. And as a result, it goes up. So that always confuses people. It's a bit counterintuitive. So if you have a slow thyroid, the most common causes are, number one, autoimmune thyroiditis, also known as Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and that's where your immune system is attacking your thyroid. Another common reason is stress. Another common reason is the environment, or how different endocrine disruptors, such as your mattress, which contains flame retardants, or your living room couch, which, unless it's organic, also contains flame retardants, the cans of food that you eat, which might be lined with bisphenol A. All of these things are endocrine disruptors that can slow down your thyroid. Goiters are another one. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail here. Genetics is common. If you have a parent with thyroid problems, that's an issue. Something called goitrogens. So there's certain foods that can slow down your thyroid. And this is pretty modest. It's not like if you eat kale, your thyroid is going to tank. But certain foods, especially the cruciferous vegetables that you've heard about that are so good for your estrogen balance, it turns out that those can sometimes slow down your thyroid, especially if they're raw. So think about that if you're someone who has a green smoothie every single day and you puree your kale in there. Cancer treatment can also do it, vitamin D deficiency, and gluten. If you have a sensitivity to gluten, this can impact your thyroid, although the details are not as well worked out as they are for folks who have celiac. So folks who have celiac disease, which is a permanent intolerance to gluten, have a much bigger issue with thyroid problems.
So can you tell me a little bit more about the role that food plays?
Yes. So celiac, as I just mentioned, is this permanent allergy or intolerance to eating gluten, and it triples your risk of having low thyroid function. So gluten is a big part here. And in people who are predisposed genetically to have celiac, we know that when they eat gluten, it causes inflammation and problems, damage to the lining of their gut, their small intestine in particular. And if you do this, it makes it hard to absorb certain nutrients crucial to your health. Some of the symptoms are diarrhea, belly pain, fatigue, bloating. But this is one of those great masqueraders where people often have a problem with gluten intolerance and they don't know it. So I want you to have a high index of suspicion and ask your doctor for a test if you wonder if this is a problem. We also know that in some folks who don't have a permanent intolerance, people who are like me, who have a gluten intolerance, but it's something that's developed over time. It's not genetic. It's probably from when I was a stress case in my 30s. For people like that, we definitely know that it seems to be better if you drop gluten. Now, we don't have the best evidence to support this, but I can tell you it's made a big difference in my life and with my TSH levels, my thyroid stimulating hormone levels. And I definitely have found that in many of the folks that I work with, but it hasn't been proved in a study. That doesn't mean it's not true, but we're still debating that whole piece. Another part that I think is important is that if you do have celiac, and I hope that doctors have talked to you about this, if you have celiac and you're listening to this, we know that you're much more likely to have a problem with slow thyroid. And the reverse is true too. So people who have low thyroid function should be tested for celiac and gluten sensitivity. So if you haven't had that done and you're struggling with your thyroid, I really want you to ask your clinician for this. Because we know that removing gluten, especially if you have celiac, reverses the thyroid problem. So ask your doctor for a test. There's one doctor in particular who's a chiropractor who's written about this, and he really believes because the thyroid hormone looks so much structurally like the gluten molecule that there's this cross-reactivity that happens, and that's one of the reasons why people are allergic. So this seems to be an issue, especially for folks who have Hashimoto's.
What are the solutions then for low thyroid?
Yes, here's some of those solutions. So number one is that you want to do those lifestyle tweaks. You want to fill in the nutritional gaps. And the most common nutrition gaps are the following: copper, zinc, selenium, vitamin A, iron, especially folks who have hair loss, soy, raw brassica, and vitamin D. So let me take each one of these and give you a little bit more detail. We know that it's really important when we're talking about converting T4 into T3. And remember, T4 is the storage thyroid hormone. We want as much T3 as possible. But again, even with T3, we don't want too much. We don't want too little. We want just the right amount, the Goldilocks amount. So for making the Goldilocks amount, you need a sufficient amount of copper, zinc, and selenium. Very important. And you probably have heard my story before about how I had a few reasons why my thyroid didn't work when I was in my 30s, a few reasons why I was gaining weight. Number one, I was low in copper. Number two, I was a complete stress case with PMS and my cortisol was too high. And number three, I was mercury toxic. I had too much mercury. So you want to think about those things first. One of the ways of testing for this is something called the NutriVal from Genova. There's also a test from Metametrics that you can do to see if you have any of these nutritional gaps that we're talking about with the thyroid. If you struggle with your thyroid, this is something I really want you to listen up around. So I want you to test for this if you're struggling with your thyroid. The other thing you could do is you could just take a multivitamin, like the one that I just created and vetted. You could take a multivitamin that fills in these gaps. That's a much less expensive way to do it. Vitamin A, also important. We know that soy can sometimes slow down your thyroid function. And what we're talking about here is one serving of soy in one study was shown to reduce T3 by 7%, one serving. So what I often hear people say, like my friend Mary Shoman, who's a thyroid expert and patient advocate, she says, if you're going to have soy, try to have whole food soy. So soy and its whole, you know, its original source. And you also want to limit your servings to about 2 servings per week. You want to be careful about the raw brassica. I mentioned that already, like Brussels sprouts and broccoli and kale. When you eat them raw, that has the potential to slow down thyroid function. But if you cook them, they seem to be okay. Vitamin D is so important. I really encourage people to have a vitamin D level between about 75 and 90. That helps your metabolism. And we have some new data showing that if you have a vitamin D less than 52, it's associated with a greater risk of breast cancer. Now, a couple of other things. A lot of folks will recommend herbal therapies when it comes to the thyroid. In fact, I went and saw an Ayurvedic doctor that I loved, 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 and she gave me something called Kanchanar Gugulu, not proven to help. I even was on the University of Maryland Integrative Medicine website where they recommended a couple of herbal therapies, and I found that not a single one was proven in humans with the best evidence, which, as you know by now from my mantra, is a randomized controlled trial. Finally, if you're someone who is not feeling better with their thyroid, your TSH is still above that 2.5 or 3.0 range, And the lifestyle tweak, Scott-Fried protocol number one and number two are not helping. In this case, there is no number two, so that would just be number one. Then you want to consider the smallest dose of bioidentical thyroid hormone and for the shortest duration. So this is where I really recommend natural desiccated thyroid, such as Armour or Naturethroid. I'm a big fan of the brand new type of thyroid hormone from Naturethroid or Westroid. They're the same company. They have a new form that has no fillers, and it actually has some MCT in it, medium chain triglycerides. It's a very pure form of natural desiccated thyroid, and I'm a fan. Some of the other things that you might have heard of, like levothyroxine, Synthroid, I often find that people are low in T3 when they take those. So you got to make sure you're getting that copper, zinc, selenium, vitamin D so that you can convert your T4 into T3. I sometimes will prescribe T3 for folks who come to see me who are taking T4 already. We'll add on T3 if they're low. There's also a T3, T4 combination, such as Thyrolar, or you can get this compounded at a compounding pharmacy. The problem with compounding is that these doses are so tiny, it's one of the hardest hormones to compound. So another version of T4 that I actually like is something called Tyrosint. Tyrosint, T-I-R-O-S-I-N-T. I prescribe this a fair amount. It's a soft gel, a liquid soft gel. So it's a liquid form of thyroid hormone that seems to be a little bit better absorbed than some of the other thyroid hormones that are out there, like the tablets that are really hard to absorb. And you got to remember, you got to take this first thing in the morning on an empty stomach, nothing else to eat or drink, ideally for 60 minutes. Now, some folks can't do that, especially if you're a busy mom, but do your best. Maybe you do that on the weekend and you have 30 minutes before your cup of green tea in the morning.
What happens when I'm in balance?
Oh, yes. So when you're in balance, here's the super cool part. I really believe that every woman can get her thyroid into balance. Even if you've had surgery, I mean, especially in that situation, you got to work with your clinician. This is one of those hormones that you got to work with your clinician on. And you can also check out at thehormonecurebook.com. You can check out the practitioners who've been trained in this method, especially the physicians, nurse practitioners, naturopathic physicians, and osteopathic physicians. But I really believe that you can get your thyroid working for you again. You can boost your metabolism no matter what your age is. You can boost your mood to the levels that are your birthright. And you can have a more easeful relationship with your weight and do it without the crazy fad diets. So the idea, if you're in balance, is that your weight is stable. Maybe you look at a piece of chocolate cake and it doesn't land on your hips, if you know what I'm talking about. People don't recoil in horror when you shake their hand. So you don't have the freezing cold hands anymore. You don't have a hairdresser who stares in alarm at your hair, you know, and say to you, "Ooh, you have thyroid hair." No, you've got like soft, glossy hair. It's not like straw. And you've got that longed for bounce back in your step, maybe even your sex life. Okay, everybody, that is our thyroid audio. You have just fast-tracked the balance of your thyroid. I'm so excited to be with you. This is Dr. Sarah. We will see you next time. Congratulations on finishing audio number 6.